Welcome to the Gurr and Fangirl Podcast, a podcast where we discuss pop culture and fandom. Each episode, we talk with celebrities, fans, and creators about their work in the media that inspires them. Now here's your host, the creator of The Squee Project, filmmaker, fangirl, and feminist, Hansi Oppenheimer.
Hey, it's Hansi. Welcome to our third episode. I'm really excited to share this conversation with my guest, Felissa Rose. She's an actor, producer, mom, and apparently a mangled dick expert on The Last Drive-In. We discuss fandom, horror, and supporting women in the industry. I hope you enjoy it. Here she is.
Hi. How are you?
Hey.
And so we finally get it together. Yay!
Yeah, well, trying to talk at cons is always complicated.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Yeah,
no,
there's just
fine.
Like ADD to the max for me. Like, I'm so sorry. That's why I try to give people my, you know, my phone number, my email, so that we can have an actual conversation and spend quality time. So my apologies.
Well, you know, I mean, you're working, you're seeing friends, and then apparently every child in the place was drawn to you.
I do love children, and the real profession that I wanted to partake in was being a preschool teacher. I really wanted to become a teacher. I love children, and if I wasn't so old, I'd probably have like 10, but I started late in life.
Well, three's a lot.
three's a lot, and it's more as they get older. Now I have teenagers, and wow, I tell you, I could control them when they were tiny. Now it's like, I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. It's like, whoa, it's a lot.
Yeah.
So thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm honored, you know, that we got a chance to talk. And it was so funny, like, when we were talking, it was like, oh, my God, she's a New York girl. You have a Long Island accent like I do.
I know. And I didn't even realize there was the difference with Staten Island, Long Island, Jersey, Bronx. Like, I didn't even know we all had different accents.
Well, because you don't hear it when you're a New Yorker. It's just, it's everyone just talks like us.
and everyone in California speaks like this. I'd like an orange, and I see the dog. And I'm like, what the? So it's funny to me because I have to totally put it on. That's the biggest acting I do, is like the way I talk.
So obviously, you know, everyone knows you're from Sleepaway Camp. But and then now, you know, you've been producing and doing films now for years, right? You're pretty much a horror legend at this point.
Oh, that's really sweet. I wouldn't say that ever, but when you say it, I'm like practically crying. So thank you. I really am. I'm like, what? That is so. It's funny because I just have to interject and say one thing. I did a documentary called Something to Scream About many years ago, like 15 years ago, before I even had kids. And they were calling me a scream queen. And in the doc, I said, oh, no. Like at that point, I hadn't really done many horror movies. I was just kind of coming back. And it was crazy and blew my mind to hear the words scream queen. And I was just like so emotional about it. Like, whoa, maybe princess, I don't know what, or nothing. I love and adore and respect all the women who are the true scream queens. But yeah, so that's, you know, it's like amazing now to be talking about the movies I've done and producing, because I never saw that coming 15 years ago.
But are you loving the producing end of it? Are you enjoying that part?
I love producing. To me is like raising a family. You know, it's sort of like in pre-production, you're pregnant, and then like you have the baby during filming, and you're crazy because there's so much to get done. Like, who's crying? Who needs to be fed? Who needs money? Who, you know, there's all those aspects, the caterer, the crew, the trucks, the lights, the, you know, you're in it from beginning, you know, to end. And then when you release it, it's kind of like you're giving your 18-year-old out to the world. So I see it like it's the most fulfilling and compelling part of filmmaking because you're really immersed in that world, the entire, you know, nut from just the whole, every perspective. So I love it. I love it. But I will say when I'm not acting and I'm watching as a producer, I get like the acting bug kind of flares up and I'm like, I want to be there. I want to do it. But I just acted in a film last month and I wasn't part of the production. I was just hired as an actress. And then I felt like, wow, this is so easy, like to just come on as an actor, because I'm used to either wearing the producing hat, which is so tremendous, or both, which I was telling my best friend last night, I never realized how hard, like, I'm trying to balance that when I'm doing both. And it's a lot of work, you know, you're trying to be in character and then you're trying to put out fires and it's a lot, but so, so satisfying.
I mean, it was interesting because during the panel with Adrienne Barbeau, who's, you know, another idol of mine, right? Mm. Another scream queen for sure. And
she's a legend. She's a legend.
Yeah, she's a legend. they were asking her about her experiences on different films, and she's like, her memories were all tied up with what was happening with her son. Like, oh, well, so at this point, you know, my son was on the set with me and I don't remember anything of the filming. I just knew like I'd get up at this time and watch cartoons for 2 hours with him and then I'd go to the set. And I thought that was really interesting. You don't really hear, I mean, you don't really hear women talk about juggling family and, you know, acting and producing and all the things they do very much.
It's an unbelievable task. I'm not going to lie. In fact, just right now, as we're speaking, I'm like chatting with my husband. How are we leaving the kids tonight? Because we want to go to Monsterpalooza. And although my big girl is turning 14, I'm always like hesitant to leave for so many hours. So the juggling is, it's crazy. I mean, especially because I have like 5 trips in May. And although my husband is amazing and such a great dad and does, you know, so much with the kids, you know, I have to leave to go to Dallas for like a week, or last year I went to Florida for a month. You know, it's a lot on him. And now he's touring and his album's out and he has to go to rehearsal and he has to go to the studio. So, you know, we don't have any help and we don't have any family around here. So, you know, we have wonderful friends and the kids are really super independent and know how deeply we love them. But sometimes they kind of have to, and they're really close and bonded because they kind of, you know, have each other in this crazy life, you know, that we brought them into. So it's a lot. It is a lot. But I do remember things like, oh, I went and filmed Camp Dread, and that's when I ended, you know, nursing with my son because I had to go away for 10 days. And, you know, I remember, like, being pregnant with Lola when I was filming, you know, or rather Thomas when I was filming The Last House. I was, like, 9 months pregnant, you know. It's crazy. Definitely the timeline for the kids is, Adrienne is right. It's like amazing to look at the projects. And I brought my son when I did The Perfect House and I had a girlfriend watch him while I was filming because he was only like 6 months old. And so I brought him to set with me and I had to film it on the East Coast. And, you know, and sometimes I just put them in the project, like the Slayer videos, they're in it, you know, or Tales of Halloween, Bianca's in it, or Hanukkah, Thomas is in it. You know, it's like I just bring them now. It's like, oh, do you have a part for them?
Well, so. I talked to Joe Hill yesterday, and he was talking about he was in Creepshow, right, with his dad, but
yeah,
his dad was
yeah.
on the set because his dad was doing Jordy Darrell. So basically, in terms of a babysitter, he ended up hanging out with Tom Savini in Tom Savini's trailer. And he said, you know, as a little kid, like, he was just, like, in heaven, like, looking at all these, like, autopsy photos and gross-out things. And
yeah. They really learn a lot. I'll tell you that. I mean, I think my kids, you know, I've seen it all. Although my son is terrified by Victor Crowley.
Okay. Well.
Yeah, yeah. He's really scared of Kane in those films, in the Hatchet movies. So everybody has their own. Like, he can watch Chucky, he can watch Poltergeist or Misery, but he's terrified by, or even Friday the 13th. He loves Friday the 13th.
That's funny. Well,
yeah.
You know, everyone's got the one thing that creeps them out and they can't, you know, what's yours? Do you have one horror genre or thing that you can't watch?
I mean, I'm very drawn to Home Invasion, but it terrifies me the most because it's the most, I know, it's so real. Like, the reality is someone can come to your home and kind of lock you in and, you know, torture you, like Fun Games or The Strangers, you know. But, you know, probably not, you know, you won't be chased by a man in a hockey mask, or you won't, you know. Or,
right.
I mean, that's just the way I probably justify my not being scared by most slashers. But, yeah, I would say Home Invasion terrifies me because it is the real, you know, and I love those movies. Like, love, I'm obsessed. So it's kind of a strange fascination, but I think that's why we love horror so much. I think that's the thrill that we seek. It's like a roller coaster, you know. You could die.
What?
I mean, it could break
really
down or fall
us.
Out. What's that?
You know, I think horror is good for us because, you know, to get inside the head of the bad guy or to see the violence, you know, it's cathartic, but it's also like okay, like, I don't want to be that guy. I don't.
Definitely.
You know?
I mean, I think they're brilliant, and it exercises all kinds of, you know, it just puts the brain at ease with so many things, or exercises whatever you might be afraid of, and it gives such a thrill, and it is cathartic. I just find them truly amazing.
Were you a monster kid? Did you grow up on, like, horror films?
No, not really. Mm-mm. Although I love them now, but not really as a kid. It really, my fascination and love for the genre really came after Sleepaway Camp. And I think it's because being on set and being, you know, so much a part of the special effects, and it was obviously all practical in the 80s, I saw it as a true art form, and the craft was amazing to me. And we had Ed French as our effects artist, who's one of the best. I mean, even, you know, today he's extraordinary. And I just think watching him, I sort of fell in love with, like, you know, the art form and how amazing these movies are, and how filmmaking is just a tremendous, you know, it's a lot just to get one movie off the ground. So I
found
it, yeah, it's amazing. Gosh.
Yes.
Yes. It's ridiculous.
It is very hard. This is why I do documentary for the most part, because.
And I'm obsessed with docs. That's a genre that I am.
What
kind of docs do you love? I'm on the true crime. I'm in the true crime lane right now. I'm like, you know, The Staircase, The Keepers. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And that shit's crazy.
I love true crime. Did you see The Evil Genius? That was a really good series.
No, but is it on? If it's on Netflix, I'll watch it tonight.
It's on
Netflix.
That's
what I go to bed to.
Yeah, it's.
That's amazing. That's why I love it. I love knowing, like, the beginnings of where people started. You know what I mean? Like, what was the beginning, and how did you get to where you are? Like, I'm always so intrigued and amazed by that, right? Love people.
Well, I noticed
love
you
people.
Started. You went to NYU, right? You were a theater kid, right?
I did. I mean, I grew up really wanting to be a musical theater, you know, major and actress, but I sucked. I just really wasn't I'm not a good singer at all. I'm going to be blunt with you, okay? In fact, it's funny because I'll sing in the car with my kids, and they're like, Mom, stop. And I'm like, I know, I'm not good. That's why I never, you know, made it in musical theater. But I did a lot of shows as a kid, you know. I went to elementary school with Idina Menzel, and I played her father in the Pirates. I always played the man. I played the Pirate King in, like, the Pirates of Penzance. She was Mabel. And then she and I became very dear friends in high school, and we did forensics she's a few years younger, and I was doing forensics, which was like dramatic interpretation across, you know, the country. And then she was like, I want to do it too. And she did it. And then I went to NYU and she went to NYU. So, and then she became a huge star. So, and I love Adina. I think she's brilliant.
But I wanted to do that.
I mean, a brilliant woman, actress, singer. But I wanted to do that as well. I wanted to, like, I saw Rent 1,000 times on Broadway and really wanted to be in that. But, you know, so that was it. I went to NYU to study drama and just felt like I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. So when I graduated, I just ended up in business. I owned my own company, which was like a temp permanent agency that would place artists in temp jobs so that they can, you know, work and make money and also audition and do all that good stuff, or any artists. And then several years after that, I thought, this sucks. I don't really want to run a business. I want to do, you know, this. I want to be an actor. And then, you know, sort of like Fangoria happened in 2001, Fangoria Weekends, and we realized, holy shit, there's actually, you know, people who saw Sleepaway Camp, and the website started. Yeah. And that's how it all happened. It was like right from there, boom. You know, we realized
there was the internet. So because the horror community was always there. But when sort of the internet, then we could all find each other. So I think it, like Joe Bob is also kind of like grasping with that now. Like we were always, you know, in our own little fandom communities, but now we're one huge, massive horror community.
Unbelievable. We are huge. And thank goodness, you know, because we have found one another and we are a family. And I feel like that's where we all feel most comfortable. I know. And if people only knew how loving and soft and generous we all are, you know.
Actually, it's true. The horror community has been incredibly. I mean, I was surprised, you know, because I am polyfandemic. I work within a lot of different fandoms and, you know, and cover a lot of different kinds of cons. So it was really interesting, like, the horror community is so, like, friendly, and there is so little barrier between the celebrities and the audience, and, you know, they, like, karaoke, everybody was there, everyone was, you know, there was no, like, you know, the celebrities
were here, and
Richard
Rico, he was, you know, David Howard Thornton, I mean, so many amazing people, John Cassier, and, oh my gosh, incredible.
But I love that the horror community, the stars don't act like stars. They act like they are horror geeks too, and they probably are. That's probably true.
I think so. I think every single one is a fan and, you know, appreciates all of it. It's like, you know, it's just, you're right. There's no beginning and no end. I mean, it's all one big happy community And it's you know, just everyone embraces each other. It's like you never feel alone. You know, it's a very happy group.
Isn't that funny?
I love it. I mean, I found it. I feel, you know, my best when I feel energized when I'm there, and then when I come home, it's given me like so much, you know, so much good. I don't know. Just I feel. Really, like I'm on a happy high when I get home. So, it's great.
You were the mangled penis expert recently.
I love that job. I love that job. You know, it's so funny because I tell Joe Bob this, like, and I tell the producer, Matt, and Austin, the director, you know, over at The Last Drive-In, they've given me like a whole other career. You know, it's like ever since I appeared on the first marathon in July, it changed a lot of things. And it gave, you know, they put the spotlight on Sleepaway Camp, and I was so grateful that he had me on the show. And it was just amazing to me that people enjoyed. I mean, I knew they were going to love Joe Bob and everything he puts out, but I was so excited that, you know, people like the Sleepaway Camp segment, and now that he asked me to be his mangled dick expert and I appear on a lot of the episodes. Barbara Crampton sent me the most beautiful email the other day. She was like, and it was so great that you were on, you know, the Castle Freak episode. I'm like, yay! So that's how great the community is. Barbara Crampton emailing me just to say, you know, we women, we all stick together, and, you know, I love you, and we all have great adoration and respect for one another, and when one wins, we all win. And it was like I was just crying the whole email, running around and showing my husband, and it's crazy because I'm such a fan. She's a legend.
Maybe that's what it means to be a scream queen, to stand up with the other women who, you know, who stand with you or before you and after you for each other.
I think so. I mean, I think, you know, we're so fortunate. I feel like in horror, and I was discussing this with my friend Tiffany Shepis, you know, who's an amazing actress in horror, and we were talking about how, you know, really horror has no boundaries with, like, age and gender. I mean, we're really lucky that way, you know? It's like, it's the only genre where you can be 80 years old and be a star. You know, you can, you know, it doesn't have, it doesn't put any of that crazy, you know, the crazy boundaries that most genres do. Like, you can only be in a rom-com if you're, like, in your 20s.
Right, right. And look you, a certain you know? Way, and, yeah.
Right, yeah, but, yeah. Like, Lin Shaye, you go, lady, you know, or any of the, any women, doesn't matter the age, Adrienne Barbeau, or... You know, I mean, from, and I'm not pointing them out for their age. I'm pointing them out because they're amazing. Jamie Lee Curtis, or, you know, it's like they're the stars and has nothing to do with anything other than they're gorgeous and amazing and talented and beautiful and just sensational rock stars. Like, we, I mean, you know, I turned 50 in May and I feel like this has been the best time of my career. Wait, yeah. I mean, I wasn't, you know, working really in my 20s, so.
Well, I think that's also a secret. I mean, I just turned 59, and I think it.
What's that?
I just turned 59 a few weeks, well, like 2 weeks ago.
You did not. You, okay, you just blew my mind. Now I'm like, what? You look so young. What? You see? Wow, the horror women, man.
Thank you.
I tell you, incredible.
But I think there's a real secret that no one tells women. It's like as you get older, you come into your power, and like when you're in your like 40s, late 40s, like suddenly you become like this dynamo that, you know, you may have, you know, been cute in your 20s. When you hit as an older woman, suddenly you are like full on rock star because
it changed, right? I mean, I was telling my husband, I feel like everything has changed for me now. Like, it's a totally different life. And it did not happen until late 40s, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't feel this way. I mean, to me, 20s was partying, 30s, kids, 40s, building the career. And now I'm excited to see 50s, like, just working all the time,
yeah.
You know? But, yeah, I think you're 100% right. And I look up to these beautiful women who might be in their 40s or 50s or 60s, and careers are, you know, fantastic, you know, and brilliant, and they just amazing. So
yeah, they just bring it. You know, Dee Wallace is another one. You just
come on screen,
and you're just like, you know,
blown away by her power and her wisdom and her beauty and. Absolutely. I mean, and Barbara Crampton and, you know, and they look like they're in their 30s. Like you don't, there's no, it's, they're magical. And I think we're really fortunate. Again, I feel like horror does not see an age. They actually respect the, you know, the power of, you know, the time we've been making movies, and you know, it's like, it's just incredible.
And you can be, you know, quirky looking, or you know,
punk or tattooed or not like the perfect little blonde princess that, you know, they want to see in Hollywood movies.
I mean, that's what I grew up with. There's a much wider spectrum of
what is beautiful.
When I was auditioning for Sleepaway Camp, you know, it was 1982, and you had to be blonde and blue-eyed if you wanted to be on TV. I mean, that's why my career was so strange, I think, also, because I didn't fit that mold, so I wasn't getting cast. I mean, truth be told, I was not, you know, booking anything after Sleepaway Camp. You know, it was like, oh, that's the girl who did that horror movie, and she's also ethnic. And it's like, what? I didn't even understand that, but I am happy that it didn't happen then, because maybe I would have burned out, or maybe,
right,
you know, I would not have enjoyed it as much. So now I'm like holding on to it and loving it and enjoying every step and every moment. And, you know, it's changed so much. The industry has changed as well. We're much more open business, but definitely in the horror genre, we don't give a shit, you know? So that's the best part. We're welcoming
you
to all. We
little,
love everyone.
Do you want to give a little pitch to your for the documentary that you guys are fundraising for? I think that's,
yeah,
I think
absolutely
a lot of people will be interested in that.
Thank you. So Mike Perez and myself, we are decided we thought it would be a good time to get the Sleepaway Camp doc out there. This documentary will tell all stories, all in front of the camera, behind the camera, and every which way of the first, second, third, and Return to Sleepaway Camp films. We're excited to get on the road probably the end of this 2019 summer to go visit locations and do the interviews with all of the actors. Everyone's agreed to participate. I'm interested because, you know, Sleepaway Camp has been my whole life, and I love the movie for all that, just everything about it. It's you know, just part of my fabric in this world. So there's so much that I just want to explore and talk about, and thanks to Mike, we're doing it. So I'm excited to get on this journey and see where it takes us. And thanks to everyone for helping and supporting and sharing it and loving it. And I can't wait to start. And it will be out probably summer.
Yeah, I'm sure people are going to really want to see
it. I'm excited because, you know, we're looking for Pamela Springsteen and we'd like to interview her, and we're looking for the mail at the end of the film. And we'll just discuss a lot of things like where Robert Hiltzik's head was at the time. I mean, he was also a NYU student. You know, because he's never elaborated on this. Everything is very topical. Like, oh, yeah, I made a movie and I had a beginning and an end. It's like, no, you really didn't. You gave it a lot more thought than you're letting on. And I know he holds his cards very close to his vest and he says, oh, movie magic. We've never had an in-depth interview with Robert discussing why he made this movie and, you know, where he got the funds. He speaks a little bit about all of that, but he never gets in depth with the homoerotic undertones, and it's very clear to the viewer what this movie was about.
It's so interesting now, too, in terms of like all the, you know, issues about, you know, gender and gender fluidity and all those topics now. I mean, I don't know if that film could be made now, but it's interesting to be viewed now and talked about.
Definitely. And we will get into the whole social aspect and from the beginning up until today. And I just think it is relevant right now. It was a very provocative film for the early 80s. And I think discussing it with all, there are so many people I'd like to talk to about it and interview. It's funny, the people who enjoy this movie, from Sean Whalen to Chris Jericho. I've met fascinating people and become friends with people because they have such an interest in this film. It's so weird that at New Jersey Horror Con, Chris Jericho came over to talk to me and was like, I love this movie. And I was like, what? Chris Jericho? What? Like, it still blows my mind. He even texted me the other day. I'm so excited about the doc. And he has all these questions. And he's a real horror fan, truly, and loves Sleepaway Camp, you know. And we need to interview him to find out why, you know. And he's actually a fellow Long Islander.
Ah.
Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's from Manhasset. I think that's crazy. And I asked him, I was like, dude, you're from Long Island? Like, that's crazy. It's such a small world. And we filmed it in New York, and it's been incredible. So I'm excited.
Well, I showed you the pictures of my friends who cosplayed you at a Halloween party. And
that, like, was amazing.
Everyone adored his cosplay.
Oh, he was so great. He looked way better than I did. so wonderful. But, yeah, I'm excited to work on the doc, so it will be very cool.
We're looking forward to it. And I'll
thank you.
Post in the links, and, you know, we'll promote it, and we'll help you in whatever we can.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for, you know, taking time for me. I appreciate it.
Oh, my gosh. I hope it went well for you. I hope this was good.
Talking to you was awesome.
Aw, thank you.
It feels like we've known each other forever, you know?
Forever. I know. It really does. I think it's the connection back east and, you know, women in this genre. I always feel, like, very connected and close to you know, to all these ladies, and it's incredible. I mean, that's how I've become close with, like, Christina Leese or Lynn Lowry, or, you know, there's so many great women that I've become, like, best friends with because of just horror movies. So it's wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, it's always so funny when people are like, oh, women like this movie or that movie, or women like Star Wars, or women like horror movies. It's like, I know so many women horror fans.
I think women are, you know, might even be more interested in this genre, judging from the conventions
possible.
And yeah, I
really?
Think we have a huge following, and you know, we need more women-based shows as well. You
absolutely,
know?
And more women directors and women writers.
Oh my gosh!
Women, you know.
Yes, and. You just really, for the first time, I'm listening to you say, like, women, no one tells us that you hit 40s and things change.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
I know. How come no one talks about that?
I don't know, and I think that's probably why they burned old ladies at the stake.
Probably.
Once we knew it, we were a danger to them.
Yeah.
Because then we don't need anyone. We're like, we got this. We don't need you.
We really do. I mean, I've never felt so, like, great in my life, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to lose 10 pounds, but other than that.
Oh, sweetie, you look beautiful.
Oh, you're sweet. I think also after you have kids, you don't think about looks anymore, because it's not about that. And you become wiser. You realize that who gives a shit, you know?
Right.
This is the best I got. This is all I'm working with. It's like, put on your best.
You're
and,
beautiful.
And keep,
you know, and you're beautiful. You're
sweet.
Powerful. You're talented. You're you know, you have a voice. You know, you have talent to give. You're out there doing it. I mean,
thank you so much.
You know, 10 pounds, fuck 10 pounds. 10 pounds means nothing.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I want to fucking eat and drink. I'm not gonna worry about that.
There you go.
You know, it's like, life is too short. We have to enjoy it. That's what I always, you know, that's what I remember after
good.
I start thinking, oh, I should lose weight. I'm like, oh, no, just enjoy life. I have to watch one of your docs. Can you, like, send me a couple of titles, and I'll go find them and buy them and support you?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Thank you. Thank
you.
I appreciate it. Well, have a beautiful day.
So I've kept you for almost an hour.
No, it's all good. I'm mopping my floors as I talk to you. because I know I have to have a house full of kids when I go to Monsterpalooza tonight. So trying to clean up for them before they mess it up again.
Well, they will mess it up in 30 seconds. You knew that.
Yeah, they'll mess it up in 30 seconds. So I figure I might as well leave to go to Monster. Because my husband's like, I'm going too. I'm like, you're not staying home to watch your kids. No, I want to go to Monsterpalooza. I'm like, oh, my God. This is what happens in my house. Everybody has to get. I'm like, okay, you're going too. So.
We'll have a wonderful time.
Thank you. Have a beautiful weekend. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, and we'll talk soon.
Okay. Okay. Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Gurr and Fangirl. If you enjoyed our show, be sure to visit our website, www.squeeprojects.com, where you can subscribe to the podcast and our YouTube channel for lots more squee as fuck pop culture content.